Hi, Hope Grown Faith. Welcome to another Monday Mentor. Today we have with us Liz Millay, and I'm going to get her to introduce herself to you.
I'm Liz, and I run the online ministry Steadfast Family in the few minutes spare that I have here and there. I have three boys, age 7, 4, and 2. And Christy doesn't know this yet, but I also have one on the way. So,
congratulations!
We'll become an official announcement sometime soon. That's why I've been a little sparse here lately.
Yeah, I can imagine. Are you tired?
So, yes.
Well, thanks for taking time from your busy schedule and exhausted pregnancy to hang out with us for a bit.
I homeschool my oldest. He just started second grade, and the other two are just kind of along for the ride. My husband is a medical school student, so he's one of those perpetual students. I think he's been in school the majority of the time we've been married, which is 10 years.
Wow.
So he actually went, when we first got married, he went to school for optometry, and he practiced an optometrist for about 4 years, and he still does part-time. And then he decided to go back to school, so he's been working really hard at that. So he's in his third year of medical school.
Wow, so he's working and in medical school, and a husband, and a dad.
Yeah, so a lot.
So you're really just running everything at home, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Wow. That's impressive. Good for you. We'll have to encourage you, too. So when you're super busy and tired and homeschooling one of your kids and raising busy toddlers, tell us a little bit about your faith and, you know, your walk with Jesus and how you keep that fire burning with little ones.
Well, I definitely have felt like it's always really important, but I've also experienced just in the last few years a lot of burnout. And so this last year especially, I've had to just really learn what it means to make more margin in my day or to, you know, sacrifice some of my ideals for things that are a little more realistic. And I think this year is the first year in a while that I've really gotten serious with making sure to be in the Word consistently and finding a lot of joy in that. And just, you know, when it talks, the Bible talks about renewing your mind. I think that's one of the best ways we can do it, is to be constantly feeding ourselves truth from His Word. And so that's become a really good source of joy to me. And I just noticed how I've kind of moved from, okay, I know I need to read my Bible, let's open it up and hope something inspires me today to, you know, get through the day, to taking a more long view of consistency in the Word and never knowing, you know, when you're going to need what you read maybe a month ago for that day, and how the Holy Spirit will work in your life. So I've definitely noticed that that has been a really big thing for me. And then just also coming to the place of realizing that I'm not some kind of superhuman. So I need the things humans need, like rest and healthy food and movement and all these things that I had been trying to just do it all. And so, you know, everyone likes to talk about self-care and is it good, is it bad? But I've just really realized that you do need self-care, not selfish care, but care for yourself the same way you're caring for your family, because you're part of the family too. And so making time to rest and rejuvenate and stuff like that has been really important this season, especially with lots of little kids running around.
Yeah, exactly. So I know that you were doing like a Bible in a year thing, or following some sort of plan or something. What was it that you were doing again?
A chronological reading plan.
Oh, that's what it was. Right.
Yep. I started at the beginning of the year, and then I follow along with this podcast called The Bible Recap. And that's been really great. It's just a short 5 to 10 minutes sometimes podcast. And I'm a little behind now, but I've learned to not care. You know, you just not behind. You just meet the Word where you are that day. And it's been great. It's like the only podcast I listen to every episode. It's really short. I didn't know. I mean, I have a Bible degree, so I wasn't sure, like, in such a short podcast, would it be about new information or things that I already heard? But I've learned so much. And the host is just great. She so explains things so well and does a great job with those sticky passages, kind of explaining multiple views. it's been really great to listen to that and then follow along reading the Bible chronologically. This really helps it make a whole lot more sense, and you get a lot more connections as to what God's doing, and it's really
That sounds really helpful to just do it with a group of people, too. If you're doing it, you're following along with the podcast, you know that other people are doing it. You're not just like, okay, nobody cares. Just doing my own little thing here. So if you're actually doing it with somebody else, it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I'll put a link for that in the video description here for anybody who's wondering. That was the Bible recap. Cool. That sounds really good. I had another question for you. I'll have to come back to that. Because I can't remember what it was now. Oh, right. You said something about self-care versus selfish care.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. Would you like to elaborate on that a little bit?
I don't know if everybody out there struggles with this, but for my personality, and I know other people I've talked about the same thing, when you are struggling and, you know, you're working hard, it can feel selfish to, you know, want to put your needs as important.
Hmm.
Especially because as Christians, we know we're also called to, you know, carry our cross and, you know, serve others and put others first. And so how do you balance that with also knowing that you need things because
Yeah. You're
a human too. And I just remember early on this year, the passage where it says, you know, that God never grows weary, you know, and I was like, wow. He doesn't ever grow weary, but he's the only one.
Yeah.
He's the one who never grows weary, never stumbles or faints, never gets tired. And we are humans and we do, and that's okay. And it's not selfish. I think we can make a false dichotomy easily. Either I'm doing everything for everybody and nothing for me because that would be selfish, or you know, self-care is this selfish thing where I need all this stuff and I need to have my me time when I want it. And I don't think it has to be either or. You know, we have brains. We can use them to come up with ways to find rest and to, you know, make sure we're getting what we need to without sacrificing our service to others as well. And so sometimes that looks like holding loosely those things that you feel like you need. Like for me, I do a lot better when I have some peace and quiet in the evening to wind down before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. And my youngest has been a terrible sleeper, and he's almost two, and he still struggles with going to bed. And so we've tried lots of different things, and I've had seasons where it's gone well, and it's been like, oh, this has been so good. I feel so much better because I have this time in the evening. You know, and then all of a sudden we'll go into a rough patch and I'll want to hold that tightly. Wait, no, I need this time for me. And then it can kind of become selfish and I need to realize, okay, yes, I do need time to rest, but this time is not my time right now. So I need to trust that God will give me strength to get through this difficult situation, and we're going to be creative and we're going to find a different way to make that happen. And so I think that's been kind of the balance that I've been trying to find, I guess.
I like the flexibility of that. It's not like I need this every day. It's, well, this is, I know my needs. I know who I am and what I need, but I also know what my kids are and what they need, and can kind of flow and mesh those two things together. Oh, I have a 5-year-old that still doesn't go to sleep very well. He's always like yelling from his room, Mommy! Like, oh my goodness, stop talking for once. But I love him dearly. So with your family, like, what are some, maybe the three most important things that you do every day?
Well, in this season right now, we've kind of just been trying to survive.
Okay, but yeah, fair enough.
Generally speaking, I would say the three most important things we do every day are to have some sort of connection with God and faith type conversation. So usually we try to be intentional and have some sort of Bible time in the morning. That has not been happening lately, but that doesn't mean that God's all of a sudden gone. You know, he's still here. We're still talking about him. You know, we're still talking about what we learned in church or whatever, putting on some worship music, stuff like that. Another thing I think would just be something that brings us together. So whether it's doing an activity together or doing chores together or, you know, eating our meal together, whatever. You know, we're not just all doing our own thing. We're trying to find some way to connect during the day. And then the last thing probably that just comes to mind is going outside with three active little boys. Love being outside, and we try to spend as much time out there as possible. And I think there's just so much benefits to being outside beyond just what immediately comes to mind, you know, just being out in God's creation, getting all that energy out, experiencing all that nature has. We really like to get outside, whether it's our backyard or going on a little mini adventure.
Cool. Sounds fun. So regarding specifically faith formation now, what does the balance of faith formation look like between you and your husband? Like, it sounds like he's super busy.
Yes, I think this season especially has been the busiest. We've been through a lot of different times where he had a more normal kind of, you know, job where he was working normal hours and was home in the evenings. We've been through seasons where he's been traveling and had to be away for trainings and stuff like that. And then during this season, I mean, we're lucky if he has enough time to eat dinner with us. It's rough. He's a third year medical student, so he goes and he does his clinical rotations right now. Mm-hmm. He's in the clinic or the hospital all day, and then he has to come home and study. So studies pretty much until he gets home, until after I go to sleep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard right now in that. So I pretty much do, like I said before, everything to keep the house going with the kids and all that. Not because he wouldn't want to or have a desire to pitch in more or do more things with the kids. It's kind of when we made the decision to go back to medical school, that was definitely one of the biggest factors. On the con side, we knew that he was going to be going through a season where he was going to be so busy and not be able to be quite as connected with the family. So we are making that sacrifice together. And the kids are great, and we make the most of the time that we do have. But yeah, it's busy right now, so he's pretty much study, study, study.
So when he was around more, did you find that he would also have faith conversations with the kids, or was that not really his thing? I just find, like, for my husband, he loves teenagers. He loves deep questions, and deep questions are not really like a three-year-old's thing. They're like... Mommy, you need the world, right? Like,
just because being the one who is home with them all day, even when he was just working normal hours, I still probably did the majority of stuff, especially the more planned out things.
Right, yeah.
And then his would be kind of more, you know, just the natural, everyday kind of conversations that come up. Or, you know, occasionally we might do a special, like, devotional series during dinner leading up to Easter or something. He'd join us with that. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So
did you normally plan those things though? Like, if you're doing a, you know, devotional thing leading up to Easter, was that kind of like you instigated?
Yeah.
And then he would just kind of join in. Yeah, that sounds kind of like our family too. Yeah. Oh, that's super interesting. Thanks for sharing that. So do you have, okay, so I've got two questions for you. What's a piece of advice you'd give a mom who wants to share Christ with her kids? And then separately is, what's a piece of encouragement? So how about some advice first? So what's a piece of advice you'd give a mom who wants to share Christ with her kids but's struggling to make it happen?
I would say my biggest piece of advice is that it has to start here first. Mm-hmm. With years. And one of the biggest things I love about the passage in Deuteronomy 6 is that it starts with love the Lord your God, and then it moves on to teaching your children. And I think that when we are taking the time ourselves to invest in our relationship with God and learning more about Him and His Word, that's just naturally going to spill over into our interactions with our kids. And more than any kind of devotional curriculum plan, and I love those resources, I have some that I've created, more than any of those things, I think what's going to be the most powerful witness to your kids is them seeing your love for Christ and how that plays out in your life. And if that's all you do and you never follow through on a 12-week curriculum or you know, get through an entire devotional book, I think it's going to be okay, because, you know, they're seeing what it really means to love and follow God in your real life, and they're being invited into that. So I think that would be my biggest piece of advice. My encouragement would be to remember that there's different seasons. So this season for us right now is a season of not a lot of intentionality. And it's really easy when you're in those busy seasons or those difficult seasons to get down on yourself for things not going how you'd like them to. But you have to remember that some seasons are seasons of rest, and some seasons are seasons of planting, and you don't see a lot of that fruit right away, especially when you have a lot of little ones. We have these visions in our mind of how Bible time should go, and like talking about God together, and then, the other two are fighting, and there's another poopy diaper to change, and it's just not, and you wonder, why am I even trying?
Yeah.
But you're planting seeds, you know, and you have to have a long-term vision of all the seasons coming together to make something that's beautiful, and don't get so bogged down into the day you're in right now that you can't see how it's going to move forward into the future, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Thank you for sharing. I was just thinking, when you were saying about your advice about, you know, just pursuing God, and that's often enough, right? So my parents did, they faith formation very differently. They took me to church, but, and sometimes I think, oh man, you know, they didn't do all these other things with me that I'm doing with my kids. But then I remember my dad praying every night. I remember hearing him pray for us at night when he was in bed. I remember seeing my mom on her knees by her bed. And when I became an adult, I was like, you know what? Those are the things that made me realize this was real.
Yes.
And it, you know, if they had not done those things and had only done devotionals with me, I probably wouldn't have realized so much that it was real and that it actually impacts our lives as adults. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you're not doing fancy devotionals with your kids or, you know, Lent stuff or Advent stuff, and that's okay because every family is different. So, and God does what God does. Right? God does his thing. When he's real in our hearts, he shares that with our kids too. So Liz, we're kind of wrapping up here. So unless there's something else you'd like to share with us, which you can as well, tell us a little bit more about where we can find more about you and your ministry that you're doing in kind of the crack time.
You can find our website at steadfastfamily.com, and then on all social media, we're Steadfast Family. So I'd say most active on Instagram, although not lately. Hopefully soon we'll be able to pick back up with that again. I like sharing what's going on behind the scenes in our life and just how we're doing this family faith thing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not super active on the Facebook page, but we do have a Facebook group, Grace for the Little Years, which is for moms of kids under six. And that's a really great place to go for encouragement and questions for that, those trying little years. It's been a really good source of encouragement there.
Yeah, it's a really active group too, so that's great.
Yep. So I'd say that's, for social media-wise, that's pretty much where I'm hanging out. There's also the Parent Toolkit email newsletter that we have for Steadfast Family, and that's just a weekly newsletter with a little bit of encouragement and just some different resources from around the web, and then also different Steadfast Family resources that get sent out every week. So,
and then you have a couple of books too.
I do. I should have grabbed them.
well, I can link to them. So,
in the Steadfast Family shop, there's some digital only resources, but the newest ones are also available in paperback, which is Play Through the Bible, which is for toddlers and preschoolers, and it's, now I can't even remember my own thing, 15 Old Testament stories, and it just has, you know, some instructions and lots of different kinds of activities that you can do that goes along with the story. Everything's super simple. I am not an elaborate craft person or take 20 minutes to set up an activity. It's just stuff you already have around your house that you can use to help your kids learn about the Bible in the way they learn best, which is playing at that age. Mm-hmm. And then we just released Pray Like This, which is a devotional prayer journal for kids ages about 7 to 10, probably is the prime age for that. I made it with my son in mind, who's 7 and a half. It's an early writer's prayer journal because there's not a lot of writing required for it. Most of the prayer journals I was seeing required a lot of writing, a lot of writing prompts, and I knew that, you know, a lot of boys especially, they don't like to write that much at that age, and so the prompts are focused on maybe writing just a few words. My son likes to write just the first letter of the word he was thinking.
That's like how I feel in my Beth Moore Bible studies. I just write like one word or one letter.
And then drawing. You can draw for almost all of the prompts too. So, and it has just a short, it goes through the Lord's Prayer, I think 8 times. And then it, each section, it has just a short little devotional that they can read to kind of understand more about prayer. So.
Cool. I'm excited. I printed it off from the website and or from your site. I couldn't get it to print right. So I'm going to order it from Amazon and do it with my two big kids. I think they'll really enjoy that. It'll be good for us come September when we're getting back into a routine again. Because right now,
and then through really the Bible Volume 2, New Testament will come eventually. All projects are on hold right now, but I'm close to the end of writing those lessons, and then we'll get that going. So hopefully that'll be ready within the next month or two.
It's exciting. Well, you kind of do have, you know, like a project going on right now. Like, you're growing a human being, so that's pretty important. A lot of you're sharing the faith the old-fashioned way. All right. Great. Thank you so much. Did you have anything else you wanted to say? Anything you're like, wait, I was burning to say that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So thanks for having me on. I love hopping on video and talking to people. So.
Great. Thanks. This has been really encouraging and short, which I like. It's easy to listen to then, right? Thanks so much, Liz. Okay. I'm going to turn off the live now.
Awesome.